Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. A little bit tired from a strenuous week around here, but so happy. Rose Sweet and Scott Wieman in one day. Are you kidding me? Scott Wieman, of course, is the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. He's also the founder of a wonderful organization called Catholic in Recovery. But I used to just call it Catholic in Recovery, but I can't do that anymore. I got to call it the award-winning Catholic in Recovery. Hello, Scott Wieman.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, first of all, let me just give people the number. If you want to talk about addiction and recovery, you want to get the Catholic perspective on that from someone who has lived it and lives it every day, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. If it's about yourself, it's about a relative, it's about someone you love, it's about a situation that you'd like help with, 888-318-7884. Congratulations on being an award-winning apostolate of the Catholic Church.
Thank you.
Now tell us about it. Tell us about what happened.
Yeah, so Cy's referring to the OSV challenge. This OSV challenge, when I was on here last, I think it was
our Sunday Visitor, just so people know.
Yep, our Sunday Visitor Institute, right. the giving branch of our Sunday Visitor. This is the second year that they've put together the OSV challenge,
yeah,
which awards three organizations, Catholic organizations, with a $100,000 grand prize to advance their apostolate. So we were one of 600 that began. We were whittled down. Ultimately, 24 groups went through a six-week accelerator that was partnered by, and the OSV partnered with the University of St. Thomas in Houston. So we got a lot of great business development and growth. Of those 24, 12 were chosen as finalists. We put together a little pitch video and then competed in, we'll call it a Catholic-like Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, yeah. You did Catholic Shark Tank.
That's right. So we did a pre-recorded video. It was supposed to be in person, but pandemic went virtual. So pre-recorded video and then Q&A, which was, it was a lot of fun. Full day, ready for whatever questions were going to be asked. But the whole process, whether we were winners or not, easy to say as a winner now, by the way. But the whole process, whether we were winners or not, were incredibly valuable.
But you said that before. I know that when you had gone, I remember talking with you when you had gone through some of the accelerator stuff, mm-hmm, and you didn't know at all whether you were going to win a prize. You said that it was very helpful to you as a ministry.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't start this with some great business acumen and, you know, I'm a business leader and I see a need and a market need, whatever it is.
Right.
I started Catholic in Recovery out of my own experience, strength, and hope, and seeing, you know, a need that I had and certainly that others had.
Right.
And so it doesn't, you know, I've got enough, I guess, a jack of all trades, enough background. But, you know, this gave a lot of business development to take the mission, to take a really good purpose and you know, clean it up, clarify it, give some business perspective, a lot of counsel, a lot of great perspective from others and mentors along the way. So it's all developing.
How cool. But now the $100,000, mm-hmm, that you can put towards developing whatever your website, your programs, your publication, anything that you need to do to help Catholics who are in recovery.
Yeah, it's to be kept within kind of the confines of our business plan that we put together during the course of the accelerator, right, and then what was within the pitch. But yeah, what we're going to be doing with that is growing our team. You know, this has started just me doing a lot of stuff, really, you know, in everything. And along the way, I've gotten a lot of help and we've got great partners. But growing our team a little bit to help further grow Catholic in Recovery groups. We've got new Catholic in Recovery meetings across the country happening, different parts of the country. We're going to have 6 Catholic in Recovery retreats next year. We're going to be publishing the Catholic in Recovery workbook next year, which will be a
great
sacramental guide through the 12 steps. Whereas my book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, is more storytelling, my story.
Yeah.
This is more directed at here's what you can do to integrate the sacraments of the church into the 12 steps. And going to be a great solution and a great, really help advance our mission. And with that, we'll also have, we're looking at developing some kind of a digital platform or mobile app that will accompany the workbook, where with each of the 20 sections within the workbook, we'll have a video module where we'll be referring to the workbook, sharing testimony, how other people have worked through these parts of the steps with various different addictions. You know, we see addiction as being, or, you know, defining addiction, not just alcoholism and drugs, but compulsive overeating, restricted eating, gambling, pornography, right, and lust addiction, codependency, the family side of addiction. So hopefully a tool and something that can be useful for all.
Wow. If you'd like to talk with Scott, please call 888-318-7884. I am impressed on so many levels. First of all, I just want to say I'm really impressed with the Our Sunday Visitor people that they do this,
yep,
that they take seriously that it's hard to start a Catholic apostolate. This really is the age of the laity, where the laity is being encouraged, go out and do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but not just saying, here's a donation, but saying, here's all this help that we're going to give you to make sure that this apostolate has legs.
Absolutely. So, you know, you just throw money at something and, you know, that's just going to, it can either magnify solutions or it can also magnify problems.
Yeah.
But with the assistance and the support and the mentorship, and not only that, but also the community of the other semifinalists, the other people who were doing similar things. Yeah, it's nice because it can be a kind of a lonely space, starting something from nothing with a vision and, you know, just kind of feeling like, you know, along the way things are happening, but to, you know, get impatient, and it can also feel very lonely. And so just being connected with others who are in that same process, doing great things, you know, whatever that looks like, that was in itself, the community building aspect of it was awesome too.
888-318-7884, our number. Scott Wieman is our guest. He's the founder of Catholic in Recovery, which you can find at catholicinrecovery.com. I always lose my confidence right at the end there of that. CatholicInRecovery.com. Plus, I actually put an S on it. You noticed that.
Everyone does that.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Okay. The 12 Steps and the Sacraments is Scott's book, A Journey Through Recovery. And if you are in that situation or know someone who is and you'd like some help, look, it's everywhere. We are an addictive society, really. Mm-hmm. And it's something that... too many people continue to suffer with because of just the shame of asking for help, but there's no reason to be ashamed. Jesus loves each of us and wants us to get that help. So give a call if you'd like, 888-318-7884.
Yeah, I look forward to being on for this hour every couple of months when it comes around because I love the calls that we get, the unpredictable nature of what people are dealing with, and knowing that, and also what that does is when you call in and you share what you're going through or a challenge, and you don't have to identify yourself by name, you can keep yourself anonymous. But that also, that helps other listeners know that they're not alone. And so, you know, you're calling, sharing about your own experience in addiction and recovery with those, you know, challenges with a family member, whatever that might be, questions specific to recovery or how to integrate the sacraments into the 12 steps. Just by picking up the phone and calling helps other people.
What, Scott, why have we not partnered with you? Why haven't we been like, Scott, why don't you make a podcast with us or something? What's wrong with us? Have we tried, and you said no, or we didn't try?
We haven't tried. Maybe there's a possibility there. See, you make these claims, you make these proclamations on air, though.
Yeah.
Then we got to talk to someone first about that.
You mean someone who has a decision-making authority? How I get decisions made around here. I talk about it on the air, and then they got to do it. But
let's do it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I just started a new podcast. Everybody in there. I just started a new podcast with Scott Wieman. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. I do want to go to callers, and I don't want to make callers wait, but I feel like there might be some people who are going, what is Catholic in Recovery? Yeah. And maybe you could just give them the basic pitch.
Yeah, so Catholic in Recovery is a blending that blends the wisdom of 12-step spirituality with the sacramental life of the Catholic Church. And so as the 12 steps, which started in Alcoholics Anonymous, the 1930s, and has branched into many other areas of addiction, supports and helps people across the world on a daily basis. What was once deemed alcoholism and addiction, alcoholism largely at first, deemed a chronic illness, by one person sharing experience, strength, and hope with another, they found that there was a solution to this, but that the solution required fellowship and required connection with each other. And so, in the formation of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 Steps, there was great Catholic influence. Catholic clergy who had a great influence, personal relationships with the founders, and had a really great just impact in the development of this incredible social instrument, the 12 Steps. And over time, other groups have grown. Narcotics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Sex Addicts Anonymous, you name it. There's a 12-step group for it. And in many ways too, there has become the secularization of the group. So whereas the solution in the 12 steps is very spiritual in nature, and refers to God, and this is a question that people have as they're coming into groups, oftentimes with very differing degrees of religious background. Some are often very, especially if they've been through the darkness of addiction, angry at God, don't want a relationship with anything that's associated with God. Others come in with a background of faith and you seek to lean into that. But it's funny how, you know, in many 12-step groups, like half the people think that it's too Christian in nature, and half the people think that it's not Christian enough.
Right, right.
So one who might, you know, show up to a 12-step group might feel some anti-Catholic sentiment in some places, whereas, now, again, it's supposed to be open, and I don't disparage 12-step groups. This isn't just, I speak to of the church in the same way, that there's room for improvement, and 12-step groups have helped save my life, and there is this kind of closed-off nature, unwelcomeness for us to name our higher power by name in some way. So becomes challenging for some people. When I showed up in an AA meeting 10 years ago, the people there helped save my life one day at a time, and I'm forever indebted to them. They continue to help save my life.
Right.
And that helped me get into the church. Now, so Catholic in Recovery blends the spiritual nature, spiritual wisdom of the 12 steps with the church. We provide Catholic in Recovery groups and fellowships, which we now have about 40 plus around the country in 12 different states. And we also have virtual meetings. So in a Catholic in Recovery meeting, much like in a 12-step meeting, it's just where people can share experience, strength, and hope. Although ours is rooted in the sacraments, we refer to scripture from the daily or upcoming Sunday Mass readings and tie that with liturgical themes, recovery principles, and it's a place where people can just share openly, hear from others, and connect to the solution.
888-318-7884. I want to go to Anonymous in Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Anonymous, please go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman. He'll get it in a second. It's just looping around because he's listening on the radio. He'll say hi in about 1 second. Ready? Go.
12-step meeting.
No, I thought he was going to say hi by now. He will. He's coming around. He's got an important question, so we got to let him. Anonymous in Pennsylvania. Say hello to us. Say hello to us. Yeah? All right, well, this is fun. Tell me when he says hello. He or she? Okay, well, tell me when she says hello. But we're particularly patient today hi, Anonymous, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Really good. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Well, I had just turned on the radio to hear this program tonight. Okay. I've been struggling myself. I have been to various recoveries for alcoholism, gambling, overeating. It's just an impulse that I feel like I can't beat. So it was successful for about a year and a half, and then COVID came, and I started drinking again, and I'm just so desperate, and it's so funny. I just started yesterday praying really hard. Just give me a solution. So when I heard you on the air tonight, I just had a call.
Mm. Well, thank you for calling.
I've never heard of Catholicans Connect. I've never heard of this before, so I just wanted to find out. You know, hopefully my call will help other people, because I don't really have much else to say other than I know I need you.
Yeah, Anonymous, thank you for calling. Can you share a little bit about when you came to that point of realizing that you need help and that the help needs to involve other people?
Well, my personality changed. I guess I've been a functional. I guess I would call it a functioning alcoholic. I can get everything done that I need to do, but I am a Catholic, and I know the whole time that it's not where my life should be. And when it finally got to the point where in the past, it was financially because I was gambling too. But mm-hmm. now it's like I feel spiritually empty. Mm-hmm. Like I just feel like it's not mattering. And it's not like I'm staggering around anything. I mean, I just drink just enough to get myself where I just don't care about anything. And that's where I seem to like it.
Yeah. Your problem and your solution sound like the same thing.
What does that mean?
What?
It sounds like your problem and your solution are the same thing.
Which is
that, you're resorting to alcohol and gambling and food as a means to escape the reality of the consequences that are caused by resorting to alcohol and gambling and food. And I get that because I was there. It's the cyclical nature of addiction, and it's why. You know, it makes no sense. It's completely insane. From someone outside, it doesn't make any sense at all. And we just scratch our heads and think, why wouldn't this person just give it up? But addiction is a power that's cunning, baffling, and powerful, and also very patient. And so you mentioned, this isolation due to COVID and things happening. And First of all, Anonymous, you're going to find us. You're going to find yourself into a Catholic in Recovery meeting very soon. In fact, tomorrow, Saturday, at noon Eastern time, we have a general recovery meeting that happens virtually. You go to CatholicInRecovery.com. On the Meetings tab, go to Virtual Meetings, and you'll find it. And there will be a host of people there who know exactly what you're going through, who have made several attempts. Many of them have stumbled themselves, taking years to get help and to get support and to feel like they've actually got something, you know, under themselves where they can trust themselves and they can trust God in the process. But, you know, Anonymous, you're not alone. And I'm so grateful that you called to let other people know that they're not alone. And so anyone who is struggling with an addiction, whether it is alcohol or gambling or compulsive overeating or restricted eating or drugs or lust, you're not alone. And a lot of those things are really just different symptoms of the same spiritual malady, and that is distance and disconnect from God and from each other. And so the solution, although it can be hard and challenging because we often lose trust in God and each other, is that. It's resorting to Jesus Christ and putting your life in the hands of other people who have been in your shoes and know a solution out.
What do you think, Anonymous?
I think my heart is happy right now because I feel like the Holy Spirit is involved in this entire thing right now because
yes.
I was praying for it. I wanted it to happen. I feel like I don't have the strength. I don't have the desire. I don't have the motivation. I know it's wrong. And I know there's other ways out, but nothing else makes me feel anything unless I'm doing that. So I guess, you know, my prayer enough this morning was not as intense as I was like, oh, my God, please, I wish this. It was like, okay, so if you want me to get over this, I can't even devote myself to total prayer. And mm-hmm. so it's so strange, and I'm just so filled with hope and happiness right now and so grateful that of your ministry.
Mm. Well, thank you for calling. I'm grateful to hear you.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. And I'm going to have you give the information on the website and everything when we come back, because we have to take a quick break, but we'll go over it again.
Okay. And Anonymous, if you're still on the line, stay and leave your address, your mailing address with the people on the back end, and I'll mail a copy of my book to you. We'll get that out to you as soon as possible.
Anonymous, you hang on. We got to take a break. Thomas is going to speak with you. I do want to give out the number again, because others may call. You're very welcome to call, whether you're Catholic or not. As I think Anonymous said, this is the first time listening to Catholic radio. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, if this is your first time and you'd like to call, you're welcome. 888-318-7884. But I got to take that break, and we'll come back and give the information out again and take more calls for Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, the award-winning Catholic ministry. 888-318-7884.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
We should pray because prayer is conversation with God, and conversation is the only way to build a relationship. We need that relationship with God. We should pray and talk with God about what's on our hearts, what's on our minds, what's active in our lives, the joys we have. We should share all of these with God. Prayer is conversation, and conversation is the only way to build a relationship with God. It's the most important relationship. All of our other relationships depend on this one.
Scott Wieman is our guest. I'll just remind you, Scott's book is called The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. And you hear his story in there, and you get the basics of how a Catholic approaches recovery with the help of the sacraments, not just to deny any other help. Like, you wouldn't deny someone going to the hospital if they need to go to the hospital, or visiting the psychiatrist if they need to visit the psychiatrist, but the sacraments also have a power.
Yeah, we need a holistic approach to recovery.
And you can find out about Scott and the whole apostolate at CatholicInRecovery.com, CatholicInRecovery.com. But you want to give out a little more information about how people can go to meetings, because you said that to our anonymous caller, but maybe there's other people like, Scott, I need a meeting.
Yeah. So we've got Catholic in Recovery meetings around the country in different places. Go to CatholicInRecovery.com. You'll find a meeting directory, which is a directory of our in-person meetings that happen most of them on a weekly basis. We've recently started a meeting in North Canton, Ohio, a meeting in Star of the Sea in Virginia Beach, Virginia, a group in the middle of New Jersey, many others that we're going to be starting also in the new year, Panama City, Florida, Rochester, Minnesota, many. It's been awesome to see. But also, you may not live near an existing meeting or fellowship or Catholic in Recovery group. You can certainly also inquire about getting a group started. We'd be happy to walk you through the process of getting a group started in your local community. Or you also have the option of joining us in a virtual meeting. And we have about 20 virtual meetings that happen each week, many of them general recovery meetings, people with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. Also, groups for family members impacted by a loved one's addiction. We have groups for men recovering from lust addiction, pornography addiction. Also a group on Tuesday evenings for spouses of lust addicts, because there is a great pain and trauma associated with betrayal for those who are impacted by a loved one's lust addiction. We have a group on Friday nights. It's happening right now, Adult Children of Dysfunctional Homes, for those who are impacted by the dysfunction of alcoholic parents. Those things, those patterns or challenges often reveal themselves later in life, and a compulsive another meeting on Saturdays, that's, or Sundays, that's dedicated to specific addiction types. This one for overeating, dysfunctional eating. So we've got all sorts of different meetings, some general, some specific in nature. Go to CatholicInRecovery.com and find a meeting that works for you and get connected. It's been awesome to see people start their recovery through virtual meetings, maintain their recovery, get integrated into other local 12-step yes. groups. And we don't claim to be a substitute for secular 12-step groups, but rather supplemental to, and hopefully invigorating one's faith in the church and also their participation in the recovery community at large.
CatholicInRecovery.com and soon the new Catholic in Recovery podcast brought to you by Catholic Answers, which I invented like 5 minutes ago. Our number is 888-318-7884. I got to share some bad news with you, Scott. Every call that we've tried to answer the phone on in the last few minutes, it has not worked. I don't know what's going on with the phones. I don't want to discourage anyone from calling. Give it a try. But since we had that anonymous caller, that was the last call, for some reason, the phone's just hanging up on everybody when we pick up the line. Mm. So this happens with Father Hugh sometimes, and I don't like to assign a demonic, answer to everything, but it is always demons. That's a rule that I have. It's always demons. And they don't like you, Scott, and they don't want you to get the...
Right.
But is it guys in the booth? Is it anything we've done or anything we're doing, or is it?
People are telling me that it's being figured out.
It's being figured out. Okay, so 888-318-7884, the number. Scott started this apostolate. How many years you've been doing this? How many years have you
started Catholic in Recovery? About 6 years ago.
Catholic in Recovery about 6 years ago. Started the podcast 15 minutes ago,
yep.
And you can get his book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery, wherever good books are sold. And it's got a nice endorsement from our own bishop here in San Diego, Bishop Robert McElroy. But I think any bishop in the world who's worth his salt would endorse this book. I hope that that's the case. Because it strikes me that the church has, the original flourishing of the church is because Catholics went out into the world, Christian people went out into the world bringing the healing of Jesus Christ. Like, we forget about the healing ministry of Jesus himself and of the apostles. And it does seem to me that the modern world needs that healing ministry again. We got to get going again with the... We're doing the sacraments, we're doing the teaching. We've got our Catholic schools. Where is our Catholic healing in the manner of the apostles and the manner of Jesus?
Yeah, that's a good, why do you think that is? Why do you think we've lost that?
I think we've turned it over to professionals in a certain way. We were like, we've got the American Medical Association now. And so with the professionalization of medicine, we lost our place and we forgot, we're supposed to do direct healing though. Mm-hmm. Like, we're supposed to still be healing people.
Yeah, it's interesting because we all look through the lens of the world through different perspectives. We look at the world through different lenses, and a doctor will look through the world at through a medical lens, and it's important that we have different people looking at the world from different lenses. And yeah. I think that too oftentimes we do. We don't look at the world from the spiritual lens enough. And by the spiritual lens, I also mean like, what is it? What is our relationship as two humans existing, you know, together in life? And what is the importance of our need for each other? And, you know, different things like that. I can get very philosophical in a lot of ways, but I think, yes, you're absolutely right that too often we've left it to people who are not perhaps viewing some of the challenges that we're having through a spiritual lens. And even in some ways, I'm not going to say that. I see this happening, you know, throughout the world in different, you know, hence the secularization of modern 12-step recovery groups.
Yeah.
And so, yes, having a Catholic influence there where we can see the world through not just challenges as they exist, emotional or physical, but also the spiritual as well.
Hey, the phones seem to be working. So for those who had trouble before, I'm sorry, but the lines are open. Well, there's one line open right now. And we're going to get to everybody who's on the line. Guadalupe in Missouri, we're going to get to you first when we come back.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I love it when we have Scott Wieman on. I love it when we have Rose Sweet on, but then Rose Sweet and then Scott Wieman. That's a pretty good Friday. But Scott's got has started an apostolate called Catholic in Recovery. It's growing all around the world in more and more places. Will you have in, say, Spanish-speaking countries and
yes, actually, we are in works and getting a group started in Ensenada, Mexico, just south of the border.
Okay.
And thus also getting resources translated into Spanish. It's really important that people do recovery and this kind of stuff in their primary language. It can be challenging, especially when being very vulnerable and being honest. It can be challenging when you have to make those translations.
Yeah. And then maybe people will pick it up in other languages as well. But you're going to have to rely on them to do that. And we'll let God be. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll let God handle that. But Guadalupe in St. Joseph, Missouri, listening on 106.9 FM. We're happy to have you, Guadalupe. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Well, yes, good evening. Good evening. And it's such a pleasure, such a joy to know that 12-step program is in the now in with the Catholic you know, twist or what, right. what have you. I am a recovering sugar addict, a refined sugar addict. Mm-hmm. It's a real deal. This is my eighth year. But initially, I went to Overeaters Anonymous, and unfortunately, it was the last meeting here in St. Joseph. Nonetheless, I picked up a sponsor, and my recovery was based on the sponsor lived 30 miles away, but my recovery was based on two daily phone calls, praying the Serenity Prayer, sharing our experience about sweets, overeating, and so forth. I'm not an overeater. As a matter of fact, I'm trim, you know, so they couldn't figure out why I would, you know, up. So anyway, and what my recovery amounts to basically was Serenity Prayer, and sharing about it, but the Serenity Prayer at the beginning of the phone call. Mm-hmm. And the Serenity and the Lord's Prayer at the end of the phone call, it's miraculous. I fought this thing for many years. I was serious. When you wake up in the morning, you got M&M stuck to you, you have a serious problem.
I want to just say congratulations on your 8 years in recovery. And that's magnificent. And did you want to ask Scott something, or did you just want to share about the sugar addiction?
Yeah, I wanted to share about that because yeah. I was so captivated, by the fact that I was, in a recovery state, that I called up the central office in New York for AA and asked, are there any programs available for strictly sugars? And they said, well, the Aussies, Australians tried it in 76, but they didn't do nothing with it. I said, I'm interested.
All right.
So anyway, in starting something, so I registered it, and it's Sugar Hostage Anonymous. Sugar Anonymous, the name's already taken up by a commercial outfit.
Mm-hmm. I just want to ask Scott if he's experienced this, Guadalupe. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling and sharing, and it's amazing. You know, things can get very specific as far as what we can get attached to in life, and many of those things, like sugar, also have a biological hold on us.
Right, yeah.
Alcohol,
right.
Very similarly, where alcohol filled with sugar, so when an alcoholic stops drinking, their body is used to all this sugar, hence part of the some of the physical reaction that can happen if someone's been drinking for a long time and then just stops cold turkey.
Right.
So yes, our bodies adapt to it, and hence we understand addiction as including tolerance, and the body builds some kind of a immunity to it in some way. So it requires more to achieve the same result. That's what tolerance is. That's a part of addiction, and yes, it can be as specific as something like sugar. And I really appreciate too. He mentioned the difference between his challenge and those who might be a compulsive overeater. Whereas there are some nuanced differences in the way that we approach a day or our recovery. Whereas, as mentioned, here's what I heard: two calls a day, and the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah,
pray the Serenity Prayer probably multiple times a day. When I first got sober, it was hundreds of times a day. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I had to repeat that all day long for the first couple of days and weeks, and also connecting with other people. So his solution, he basically just laid it out as we did before the break. Connection with God and connection with others. Pray the Serenity Prayer.
Right.
Surrender, most things in life, which we cannot change, but also recognize there are a few things that we can change.
Yeah.
What that boils down to is oftentimes we can change either our attitude or our sobriety date,
yeah.
which means that we have the choice to pick up a drink or a sugar or a drug or lust or engage in behavior that is otherwise problematic. But yeah, thanks for laying out the solution. You're right, though. And I mentioned, too, there is a 12-step group for nearly everything.
Yeah.
Clutterers Anonymous, yeah. Emotions Anonymous. There are, gets to be some nuance to each of them. But the solution is pretty much the same.
But what's fascinating to me is that you think about that anonymous, the second word being anonymous, and the first word, like alcoholics invented this, Alcoholics Anonymous, but you find that human problems and obsessions and addictions and these things that we do that we hide from other people the solution is not different just because the substance is different or because it might not even be a substance. It might just mm-hmm. be, pornography, which is not a substance. It's just mm-hmm. images, but the solution that you talk about God and other people
It's not different.
No. The solution is, for the most part, pretty similar. There are some nuanced differences. And so someone who is in recovery from compulsive overeating will oftentimes do some things, plan their meals ahead of time in each day, and discuss that meal plan with another person. So that's something that would be nuanced difference than someone as an alcoholic. But similarly, and part of the difference there is, as Sister Margaret mentioned to me and has shared with me, that as a compulsive overeater, I've got to take the tiger out of its cage 3 times a day, Scott. Yeah. As an alcoholic, you don't touch this stuff. So actually, the way that we even define our recovery as an alcoholic, I define my recovery as, we say I'm sober, but and in Overeaters Anonymous or other groups like that, you might say you're abstinent. But actually, the reverse should be true. I am abstinent from drugs and alcohol. I don't touch it. And she is sober because she has to still, she doesn't abstain, she's got to eat, but has to do that in a very sober way. And so, and when we say sobriety, there's kind of a difference. It implies that there's some spiritual solution that's taking place, not just abstinence. And there can be such a thing as being a dry drunk. And that can exist in all sorts of different addiction types, is where you're not engaging in the behavior, but you're also not doing anything spiritual or anything to bring yourself health or wellness, as an alternative. Yeah.
Yeah. Guadalupe, again, thank you very much for the call. There's lots of folks on the call, on the line, and I'm sorry that I've kept folks waiting. Let's go to Texas. And this is Celeste, who's listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Celeste, glad to have you. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're having this program. It is so apropos to my situation right now.
Oh, I'm glad.
So my son is in a detox unit right now. And he went voluntarily. He doesn't want to be on alcohol, but he says he prays to God, and God just doesn't answer him for what bothers him. So he uses marijuana and alcohol to treat himself, and he's terribly addicted. And I just don't know what to say to him when he says God's not listening. The only thing I know to say is, you're just not getting the answer you want. You want him to fix it. You have to fix it.
Scott,
I don't know what else to say to him.
What do you say to Celeste?
Yeah, thanks for calling, Celeste, and sharing your experience. And you're not alone. And it's the challenge of seeing a child go through the pain and the darkness of addiction. I don't know it firsthand, but I know I've had conversations like this with enough people to know that the pain is immense. And so, God bless you, Celeste. There is, addiction. The place that we put ourselves in, the people that we put ourselves around, the regular kind of thoughts that we have in our head, which just get deeper and deeper into despair and self pity, and depression. Really, can certainly fuel our understanding of who God is. Part of the steps, as we get into the steps, the second step is coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, which that also asks the question of, who do we understand God to be? And so that, people in recovery, people who are struggling with addiction, often feel abandoned. And they often feel abandoned by God. They feel abandoned by their loved ones, their friends, their family members. And it can be hard as a family member not to kind of, jump on the roller coaster with them as this form of abandonment. They're going to feel abandoned. They're going to feel abandoned regardless. It's almost impossible to kind of meet their needs and feel there. I've been there. I still struggle with this knee-jerk thought of I'm going to be abandoned. Now, I've got some good spiritual practices in place to help me overcome that when it comes. But it's really just staying firm and just letting him know that you're here. You can be the presence of God, the face of God in his life, and it doesn't have to be you providing the solution. God's going to provide a solution. Unfortunately, as a family member of an addict, you did not cause this, you can't control it, and you can't cure it. But you can be a very stable presence in one's life. Of course, not giving in to knee-jerk demands and needs. And addicts do a really great job of manipulating and getting what they want, getting other people to do for them what they can do for themselves. And so oftentimes, the solution as it relates to a family member is often just giving them the permission to do things themselves. And of course, that means letting go of control. And that's a really scary thing for a family member to do, because control means at least I've got, at least I know where they are, or, I can keep them somewhat. But oftentimes our means or our attempts to control our loved ones can often just prevent them from realizing the solution themselves. Oftentimes the realization of one's natural consequences is one of the greatest things that we can do for another person.
Celeste, I want to come back to you. We're going to take a break in just a second, but do you have any response to what Scott just had to say?
No, thank you very much. Maybe when you come back, you can comment just on he gets discharged on Monday. I just don't know how he's going to survive outside of a controlled environment.
Well, is there a meeting moms can go to?
Oh, yeah. Yes. We've got meetings throughout the week, Wednesdays and Fridays, family members impacted by a loved one's addiction. There are plenty of moms in that group. The group is oftentimes led by a mother. And, you know, what people find in those groups, family and friends groups, you can go to CatholicInRecovery.com to find them, is you'll find people who know exactly where they've been. And despite whether their loved ones get sober or not, they can live a life that is happy, joyous, and free. Now, that might be a hard thing to even imagine at this point right now, but I would also say, Celeste, that you're not responsible for the outcomes when your son gets out. You know, you're not in control.
Celeste, I'm going to let it stay there, and I'll just give the website again if you would like to take a look, CatholicInRecovery.com. We do have to take a quick break. Lots more folks on the line, and we were going to try to get to everybody with our guest, Scott Wieman, the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments and the founder of Catholic in Recovery. More right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. And then St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com.
I
mean, that's streetevangelization.com.
I have a son who has suffered major psychosis.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her two children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died, and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said it's inlaid.
The stress.
Can you imagine being in hell?
And you do have to come to
and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy to be on the air with my new podcast partner.
Are you going to host the show, by the way?
Am I hosting the show?
Yeah,
I think I should host the show.
Okay, good.
But my view is I should host all the shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I should just get to host everything. Like, I think I could do better than that, Anderson Cooper. Yeah. 888. I've been obsessed with Anderson Cooper this week, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know why he keeps coming up, so...
Can we follow up on the family, the discussion of family?
Oh yeah, before we go to another call.
Yeah,
sure.
Another
call. Go ahead.
We were just kind of chatting, Cy and I, on the break, and you know this is a really really hard and nuanced conversation to have, especially over the airways and where there's little back and forth dialogue about the certain situation. It's really important to be able to connect with other people that know your circumstances, that know your situation, And, you know, a lot of it, the family challenges of addiction comes around acceptance. You know, are we able to accept God's will for us? And that might not be a very pretty thing. And so, you know, even one thing that I've heard some family members share that's been helpful, and you might not even imagine being able to do this, but going to the worst case scenario, imagining what's the worst case scenario that could happen to my loved one. That might be death, that might be suicide, that might be, and imagining that and coming to accept that in some ways. How could, you know, you don't have to accept that. You don't have to, certainly acceptance and approval are far from the same thing. But could I accept that? This is a challenging exercise to do on one's own as well. Hence, we need community. But, you know, that then we can kind of work backwards from there and really recognizing that regardless if I can accept it or not, I'm not in control. And so the biggest thing that I can do, the thing that I have control over are the boundaries that I put around myself and getting help for myself really as a family member.
Again, I want to say thanks to Celeste for that call. We've got quite a few folks on the line, so I want to get to them. And I always feel, I'll just say this now, I always feel so grateful when we do this, Scott, because you realize that addiction and the consequences of addiction are in virtually every family, mm-hmm. virtually every home. And we just don't spend enough time talking. I'm very glad that you're here and that you come in, and I thank you for doing it. Robert in Cincinnati, listening on Sacred Heart Radio, go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Okay. When I think of the higher power as God, I don't think of it as being so limited. And so I'm curious about your organization. Alcoholics in the courts, in rehabilitation, and Alcoholics Anonymous are expected to want to give up alcohol for the rest of their life completely. And so there is a need to take care of these people and for a society to feel safe from them. I was wondering about your organization more. The reason it's so hard for an alcoholic to want to do that is that alcoholism is a disease. They need the alcohol to stay alive. And when they get the alcohol, they can really deteriorate and become demented. The dementia will make it impossible for them to know their situation. So I don't see that this bottom line is going to be helpful altogether.
Would you, so Robert, it sounds like, what you were wondering, but the impression I'm getting is you would like to see some kind of recovery that included drinking and not a complete abstinence from alcohol. Am I going in the right direction, Robert?
Yes. For example, a locality may give out methadone to anyone just to keep somebody alive.
Right.
That's not the attitude toward alcohol.
Scott?
Yeah, I think that I think I disagree in the way that I don't think that alcohol is necessary to keep an alcoholic alive, but I think an alcohol, and don't get me wrong, there's some, it can be, the body can create such physical need for it that getting off of it requires hospitalization in many times because right. otherwise the body will go into convulsions and such. So if, an alcoholic who's been drinking for a long time ought to seek medical help in detoxing. Now, that's not the case for everybody, but then once detoxed, there's no need for the ongoing need. And I think that we're talking about different solutions, two different types of solutions. There are, I think, groups that exist that suggest or promote or help you control your drinking. I don't know anyone that's ever found success in that. I am the last person to talk to about moderating drinking because for me, one drink is too many and 1,000 is not enough. So I could, if I went and had a drink this afternoon or after the show, I could maybe keep it under wraps today, but tomorrow I'll be craving it, and then the next day I'll be craving it, and it creates it kind of kickstarts in me this mental obsession.
Right, right.
And that mental obsession I am so grateful to be free of. Now the question is, do I need to quit drinking my entire life? I have not quit drinking my entire life. I just today made the decision that I'm not going to take a drink today. And so, but that, that notion that I'm going to have to quit drinking forever was something that got in the way of me. I don't know if I was in a place where I was ready. I was just using it as a rationalization to not take action and to continue my bad behavior. I continued to have this idea in my mind when I was in my early 20s as problems were beginning to start, in that I need to have, I'm going to drink champagne at my wedding. So it's pointless for me not to give up drinking now. I can't imagine having a wedding where I don't drink any champagne. It was this really remote, small little thing that I had in my mind that, like, no, there's no way I could ever not drink for the rest of my life.
It's almost like an excuse to hold on. Is it, or am I misinterpreting?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. I mean, we can manipulate, like I said, addicts, alcoholics can manipulate others really well. We also do a really good job of manipulating ourselves from the truth.
Yeah.
And so we're always holding on to something, and that can be something down the road. It can also be seasonal. There might be someone who's asking themselves right now, can I not drink today? There's probably someone listening right now that's saying, I'm on my way to the liquor store, or my plans for the evening include drinking as it does every night. Could I even not drink today? And then thinking, wait a second, Christmas is around the corner. Thanksgiving's around the corner. These are holidays where I'm going to need to drink. There's going to be drinking around. Oh, I can't even imagine myself not drinking at Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's. And so,
right.
This creates this, this, You know, we just kind of make an excuse. You're right. We build rationalization. There's always the next thing or the next thing or the next thing. We can always justify.
But why would I quit drinking before the holidays when the holidays are all about drinking?
Exactly.
And then after the holidays, it might be some other thing.
Yeah, like, Super Bowl's coming up.
Yeah, Super Bowl's coming up. And summer vacation. I got to have. Yeah.
Yeah. Today, okay. The best time to take action, today. The best time to plant a tree, 20 years ago. Second time, best time to plant a tree,
yeah,
today.
Because I didn't do it 20 years ago.
No.
Robert, thank you so much. I do appreciate the call. I'm going to try to get to everybody. And if you're on the line, please don't go anywhere. We're going to try our best to get to everyone. Anonymous in New Jersey, listening on the Alexa. Go ahead, Anonymous, with your question.
Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater and binger and have Al-Anon issues, a husband alcoholic, daughter drug addict. And about a year ago, I was listening to Catholic Answers and I heard 12 steps, Catholic, and free book. So like I immediately dialed in and I thought, well, I'll form a question here, but I get a free book out of this. So I started going on the Zoom meetings and it's the first time I never had abstinence in consecutive manner in any way. And I, for the whole last year, I have 1 year of abstinence.
Praise
no
God.
No sugar, mm-hmm, flour, or wheat,
oh,
in the last year. Yeah. And it's such a blessing because in my regular secular meetings, it was just always missing my Catholic faith, my higher powers, Jesus and the Catholic faith and the sacraments, and that's not welcome in the meeting. So this is an answer to prayers. But I wanted to ask, I heard you say that you have retreats, and I was wondering if you could give more information about the retreats.
But we got no free books today, so you still want an answer, right?
Oh, darn. Yeah. Okay, I still have my book from last year.
All right, go ahead. Scott.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling Anonymous, and thank you for sharing what you found, the fruits of what you found by showing up at Catholic in Recovery. It's a gift to see our community grow, and it will grow after the show, too, which is a gift, and really grateful for that. The retreats, we had our first retreat this past summer in Wichita, the Spiritual Life Center, which was beautiful, the dead center of the country, about half the people from Kansas, half the people from outside of Kansas, many people who had been attending virtual meetings, as the anonymous caller mentioned, and had, you know, seen each other virtually but not face-to-face ever before, and others who just had never heard of Catholic in Recovery before, but it was promoted locally and, you know, found that they were called to be there, and we found many people who had been away from the church for quite some time, coming back, some needing to just get the first steps started in recovery, getting a couple of days, and lovely. So we, due to the success of that, we're looking to have 6 different retreats next year, different retreats around the country, in different parts of the country. We do have a date locked in for the first retreat. It's going to be a women's retreat at the Sacred Heart Retreat Center in New Jersey. And that's the weekend of February 25th, 26th, and 27th. So anyone listening, save the date. We'll have more information on our website about retreats and upcoming events, if just saving the date. We're going to have another retreat in Wichita back there again next November. And hope to have a retreat in the South, a retreat in the Ohio area, one here in Southern California, perhaps one up near in Oregon. And we may have some one-day events, some weekend-long retreats. This retreat up in New Jersey, the women's retreat, will be a weekend-long event, a retreat. We'll have Catholic in Recovery meetings, access to the sacraments, you know, hours of reconciliation and adoration, Mass, spiritual talks, testimonies, and really just, you know, leaving on fire for the what God can do for us. So thank you, Anonymous, for calling and sharing the good news.
Can I just ask you a quick question, mm-hmm, Anonymous? You attend meetings, but do you do it virtually? If you don't have to answer this if you don't want, I just want to know if you would tell people what the virtual experience is like if you've had that.
Well, you know, it's really great because you're right there on the computer looking at everybody, but what's really amazing is that I told my pastor about it, and he looked into it. He put it on the website, and there's a newly formed in-person Catholic in Recovery meeting right here in New Jersey now. Mm-hmm.
Branchville, New Jersey.
First one, I think.
Branchville,
New Jersey. And it's amazing. Yeah, so many healings and so many people driving, you know, like an hour. They're like, this is what I've been looking for. And to meet in person is a real blessing, too. But I get as much out of Zoom as I do in person.
Wonderful. Anonymous, thank you so much for that call. I'm glad you got the free book, but I'm even more glad that you're going to those meetings and you have that full year behind you. God bless you.
Awesome.
I know there are people who are listening are thinking, I can have that full year myself. And if you'd like help, CatholicInRecovery.com is a place to go. If you'd like to read the book, it's called The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Journey Through Recovery. Our guest is Scott Wieman. Scott, as always, thank you.
Thank you, Si.
I always, even though we do these every 2 months now, I always end the show thinking, we've got to do this more because it's so inspiring to hear people's stories.
Check out the podcast.
Oh, yeah, the new podcast for Catholic Answers, Catholic in Recovery with Si Kellett and special guest Scott Wieman in small little letters. See you next time, God willing, right here, Catholic Answers Live.